Into the 4 o'clock hour we roll. Tony Wood Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Got a Chris versus the fans coming your way. I don't know if you were able to catch the number that Scraby gave you because it seemed like it was a run-on number.
833-288.
I know what the number is, but what was the first number you gave?
I have no idea. I was trying to say it quickly.
Do you want
to attempt? 833-288-973. Chris, you get that?
833-288-0973.
What is Chris doing?
I didn't get that, but what it surprises me is that we're now in the sixth year of the show, and every time I give out the phone number, I still have to look around to find it. You'd think it would just roll off the tongue a little better than that by now.
833-288-0973 if you want to take your shot at Mr. Ello. Scraby, did you have time to replenish the questions?
Somewhat.
That means no.
Somewhat.
That literally means no.
You know, sometimes I sit down and I do the question, or I try to do the questions, and I just like get through two, and then I can't find any more, so then I forget. But one thing I want to say, because Joe Musgrove sounds like he listens to the station quite often, and
sounds like he does.
I have a little secondhand embarrassment of myself that he's heard me talk about aliens and all of my crazy thoughts.
Well, so. I mean, he continues to listen, so I mean, maybe.
True.
Maybe he finds you entertaining as well.
Oh, wow. That would be, honestly, that would make my
That would
year.
Be something, wouldn't it? I didn't say it actually was true.
Did somebody find Scraby entertaining? Yes, that would be something.
I hate you guys sometimes. I'm gonna roll back on the alien theory.
No, Scraby.
Yeah.
Continue to do you, man.
People, Joe Musgrove is just such a... He's a guy I want to be, like, I want to reflect myself well.
I can
when
see
I
that.
See Joe Musgrove.
I can see that. I mean, it was certainly nice for him to come hang with us on his off day. He could have been, you know, for Joe, he could have been walking a trail barefoot. He could have been doing a whole bunch of different things. But he decided to come on here and spend not 10, but 15 minutes
15.
With your boys.
Did he bring his dog out? I'm sure he brought his dog with him to spring training.
I'm sure his dog is with him.
If I'm going to spring training, Lucky's coming too.
So we've had Joe, we've had Sean Lewis on today.
Rob Manfred's going to retire.
Rob Manfred
at some point.
Is tired of the.
Who?
Corey. Do you have that still?
I'll go get it.
I love you, Corey. Are we the only show in the country that still makes fun of the poor guy for that?
I think so.
I think we are. It's been a while. We haven't let that one go. That was 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, we haven't let it go for three and a half years.
Yep.
Oh, man. Did you guys see the Lenny Dykstra recovering from a stroke?
I heard about that.
Who is?
Lenny Dykstra, the former ball player. According to one of his ex-teammates said it was actually Daryl Strawberry and Kevin Mitchell, who, you know, from San Diego, said Dykstra was in good spirits and is set to undergo further evaluation at UCLA Medical Center. But it is said that he had a stroke and was hospitalized, will be hospitalized into next week. So wish
I thought Daryl Strawberry had some very nice things to say. I mean, Dykstra's gone through a lot in his life. He's been his name has been run through the gambit. I mean, he spent 6.5 months in jail for a lot of the things that he was involved in. And Strawberry said, you know what? I love this guy. I'm going to support him. He's always been my teammate. And it's easy to sit there and throw stones.
Yep.
But we've all made mistakes. And, you know, that's what should be said at a time like this. And Daryl Strawberry struck the right note.
And nothing like having some good friends that have your back no matter what. Kevin Mitchell told the Post he's laying down, but he's being Lenny. We get to an age, and we're getting to an age now where we've got to take care of ourselves. And I told him he has to take more care of himself. You can't let stress bother you. You've been through a lot. I love him with all my heart. I got a chance to see Lenny. I wouldn't say meet him because I had met him when I was younger, but I played with his son, Cutter Dykstra, my very last season. And I remember him coming in to visit, and he'd been through a lot. I mean, I didn't recognize him at the time because he just looked so much different than he did as a ball player, considering all of the things he went through. But hopefully sending him well wishes and
I good do. I was always a Lenny Dykstra fan watching him play. Haven't been a fan of all the decisions he's made since he's played.
Fair enough.
Doesn't mean that I, not going to root for the guy right now to make a comeback.
Yeah, to your point, Strawberry said he's a special friend. I will never turn my back on him and say negative things. So I think he's certainly got some good ones there to kind of help him get through this. All right, let's play some Chris versus Defense.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I think we had a pretty good player yesterday. I can't remember how many players we were in yesterday, but
it's three.
I still had some good amount of questions left, so that's always a good sign.
Yeah, are we going to be doing coaches' middle names for 100 again today, Alex?
I don't think that was kind of crazy.
I mean, be honest. I gave you credit earlier this week for some good questions, but I'm not going to give you credit for what is Mike Schilt's middle name.
I was thinking it when I asked him.
Seriously.
I was like,
I mean, nobody knows anybody's middle name.
I think that it's a fair question to ask the San Diego Padres manager's middle name.
It's not a fair question.
Come on.
It's fair for the listener.
Let's just say, whoever got it won.
Let's just say Scraby is going to be in trouble should we get to the third round more than once.
I'm going to replenish this weekend, but it has been a crazy
week. It has. There's no judgment being
fine. It sounds like there's some judgment. It sounds like you're telling everybody I didn't do my job. And so,
I'm just saying.
We might have to go to the tiebreaker a little earlier than normal. That's all I'm saying, man. Let's get to our first contestant, Lance.
Wait, we haven't read the prize or the rules.
If he needs any more third
questions,
you can just start going down the roster. What's Manny Machado's middle name? What's Fernando Tatis's middle name?
I think I know Manny's middle name.
You don't.
Have we even played the song yet?
Yes, we played the song, but the rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question and you will get that question for free. And today we are playing for a qualification to Las Vegas, a two-night stay at Westgate Las Vegas and two tickets to Air Supply. With a legacy spanning decades, Air Supply continues to captivate hearts. Now in their 45th anniversary year, the duo continues to play more than 130 shows a year worldwide. Join us in celebrating their music and enduring legacy on May 31st and June 1st, 2024 at the Westgate International Theater at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Sorry, I needed to swallow.
Yeah, go ahead. Do your thing.
Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. You guys remember when I made my Air Supply joke yesterday?
It was a classic. I know that. How old are these guys? I hope they're still getting
good air
supply.
They have enough air after 45 years.
Right.
Oh. Well, I received a message saying that his 93-year-old grandma thought it was hilarious, and I will take that.
Well, I will take that, too. But you tread lightly there, buddy, talking about breathing and older folks.
Especially talking about breathing around me. The loudest breather in San Diego County.
You said it.
Let's get to our first contestant. Lance, welcome to the show.
Did he just say he was the loudest breather in San Diego County?
You can't help it.
He did. He definitely did. Lance, welcome to the show. Happy Thursday.
Oh, wait. Which one's Lance? Lance.
You tell me. Okay, hi, Lance.
Hi there. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Doing awesome.
All right, here we go. First question. Toys R Us is no longer with us, but what kind of animal was their mascot?
A giraffe.
A giraffe is correct.
Toys R Us is no longer with us.
Yes, no longer with us.
See, even Lance got a chuckle out of that question.
last time I saw my nieces, I had a big old long talk about Toys R Us, and they did not understand it.
They will never understand it. I think maybe my oldest daughter caught a little bit of Toys R Us.
There was something to be said about going into a store that just had nothing
but
stuff
but
you
toys.
Liked. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I would always get like a pack of football cards or baseball cards, but they were like, wait, so you had to go to a store to get someone's birthday present?
They can't even fathom it. Like,
it's crazy.
The only reason why I wanted to go to New York for the longest period of time was to go to FAO Schwartz.
You could have gone to San Francisco.
Well, I didn't know that at the time when I was younger.
But FAO Schwartz was amazing.
Beautiful.
In Home Alone 2, that toy store, I would have loved to be locked in there.
Every kid would have wanted to be in there. Yeah. All right, here we go. Second
Chris
question.
Chris is like, what?
I saw the movie.
You saw Home Alone 2?
No, I saw Home Alone 1. I'm not big on twos.
Lost it. Okay.
Here we go. What St. Louis Cardinals manager has coached the most games in franchise history?
LaRussa?
Guys,
nice
work.
Job.
Scraby's nightmare. Here we go. Question number three.
I didn't realize there was only one left. Didn't realize that.
What team did RG3 lose to in the wild card round when he injured his knee?
Let's go with the Packers.
Stay there.
Chris Ello for the steal.
I remember this game.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Washington had a 14-0 lead, but the Seattle Seahawks came back, I believe.
Sorry, Lance.
Sorry about that, Lance.
Good try.
Sorry, Lance.
Sorry.
We'll go to the next contestant, Javier.
Question number three.
Hold on, Javier. You're next. As soon as Scraby finishes writing question number three.
Okay, there we go.
Javier, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Here we go. First question. What year did they, I don't know who that is, start construction on Petco Park?
The construction workers.
What year did they start it? 99.
Stay there, though.
Hello for the steal.
No, it passed in 1998.
It did.
I don't know that they started construction that quickly. I would have guessed 1999. Oh, I'm going to run out of time. He's going to buzz me. Just give it to Javier. I'll say 98 if you'll accept that.
Oh, wait. Sorry. No, that was an acceptance buzzer. Of his answer.
Oh, okay.
Not his actual.
The actual answer gets a.
Javier still there?
2000.
Yep. Oh, well. Took a year. Typical San Diego. I should have known.
Yeah, it ran into some red tape.
That's
there.
Right. I think it didn't open for like 4 years.
2000.
Yeah, it took a long time.
Four?
No. 2003 or four.
Oh, it was.
I think
it was
four.
It was four.
So it took 6 years after the vote. And we cost ourselves millions and billions of dollars trying to
process.
Fight against it. We're such a what a wonderful spot we have here.
Question number two.
Uh-oh.
Steve Spagnuolo was defensive coordinator for what team to start his coordinating career?
That's tough.
The Giants.
It wasn't that tough. Nice work, Javier.
I would have, if I were him, I would have said Eagles because I swear they said he was a coach with Andy Reid before he was anything. So,
Scraby, I have to be honest. We've asked the new question in about 100 different ways.
Okay. All right. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
He's just making this up on the fly?
On the fly.
Oh, boy. Javier, this could be very good news for you or it could be very bad news. Who knows?
Here we go.
Who? What is Steve Spagnuolo's middle name? Well, I'll tell you.
I don't even know that.
I don't even know if I'm about to say this right. Here we go. Who caught the famous pass, the squeeze between the cheese?
Yes.
Squeeze between the cheese?
Yep.
Scraby just made this up.
Nope.
He did.
No clue.
No clue, says Javier.
Stay there, Javier.
Unfortunately for you, Javier, I've hung around this guy far too long.
Oh, no.
Cheese has to be the Packers, and the guy who caught the pass is Terrell Owens, I'm guessing. Sorry, Scrab.
Sorry,
all right,
Javier.
Hold on. I got another one.
We'll go to our next contestant, Scott. Welcome to the show. Happy
Scott
Thursday.
Scott is right there.
Hey, guys, that was a really good interview with Musgroves.
Oh,
he's an impressive dude.
Yes, he is an impressive dude.
He always is.
Here we go.
Always good to us.
First question. Who is our Padres MLB.com reporter?
Adrian
Casavell. Yes, indeed. Nice work, Scott.
Adrian.
On to question number two. The nickname of the Savannah baseball team is what?
The Bananas.
Wow.
Light work for Scott here.
Okay,
here we go.
Give me a second. Give me a second.
We've been making Scott sweat over there. Cruising through two questions.
Sorry, Scott. We're waiting on a question number three here.
Okay.
Can you imagine on Jeopardy? And it's time for Final Jeopardy, but you have to hang on just a second there, contestants.
You know, the Jeopardy question makers, that's their only job.
All right, Scott. Here we go.
Question
number three. When Tiger Woods, y'all, won the 2019 Masters, who did he beat?
Name two.
What?
Of the three.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
When Tiger Woods won in 2019,
right?
Who did he finish above? Above. Or who was that?
Everybody was in the tournament. Finished above. Is that what you mean?
Is that the answer you're looking for?
Well, he's looking for who finished runner-up,
this
right?
Is the process of me writing the question.
Runner-up,
yes.
Third place.
Yes. Runner-up, yes. Okay, yes. That's fair.
Speaking of Jeopardy, can I call Ken Jennings for the round?
No kidding, man.
No
not
kidding.
A bad idea.
So you just have to name two, because this is pretty tough.
I don't know. Try Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama?
He did win the Masters, but it was not that year.
Hello?
Well, I remember Koepka being in the hunt in this particular one, so I don't know that he didn't fall out of it far enough to not be second, but I feel like that's a legit guess.
Okay, so you got to give us
one
more.
I'm going to try Koepka. The other one, I have no idea. Rory McIlroy. I don't know.
Unfortunately, he hates the Masters.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Does that mean he doesn't play, or that means he hates it because he's not good there?
Well, in 2010, he was like leading by like maybe eight shots, and
he duck hooked
it into the cabins and ended up losing.
Good old duck hook. Scott,
tell Scott whether he won or not.
Oh,
he's
sorry,
on
Scott.
Pins and needles,
yeah, Scott,
over there.
You won, my man.
Hey, stay right there.
All right, Scott.
Hang on the line. Dustin Johnson finished second, and yes, your boy, Brooks Koepka.
Oh, Koepka was correct.
Third.
I got
yes.
No. Those guys all finished second. That's why I was saying.
Oh, they all finished second.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and Xander Schauffele.
Oh, so I needed Johnson or Schauffele.
Correct.
One of the two.
All right, well, I got one.
Well,
yes, you did.
Good thing you didn't, because Scott wins now, and he is now
good
qualified
for
this Vegas trip.
I promise I'll have more questions tomorrow.
Way to go. That was a pretty good question for coming up with it on the fly. By the way, you know, we air on this show from time to time. Stuff like that happens. Scraby doesn't have enough questions. We forget where we're going.
100%.
Scraby messes up, pushes the wrong button.
Who got in your mentions?
Scraby does another thing wrong. Scraby does it. So I was watching this the other night on I don't know, it was like Facebook Reels. You know, they just get a bunch of videos. They had a video
it's addicting,
once.
It's by the way.
It is. Right. You start watching and you're on there for like 2 hours. There was a video the other night of Johnny Carson, the famous Johnny Carson show. And he comes out with his sidekick, Ed McMahon, and they come back from commercial. And Carson is dressed in his outfit where he was the amazing something. I can't remember his character's name, but what he used to do, Karnak the Magnificent. Anyway, the bit was that he would hold an envelope up to his head and he would say, Tony Gwynn, like, gave the answer. Then he'd open up the envelope, and there'd be a really funny question that the answer would have been Tony Gwynn.
Gotcha.
To do this segment. And Ed McMahon introduces him, and here he is, the Karnak, the Magnificent, and Johnny Carson sits down, and he's ready for the segment. Cameras are rolling. This is live television back in those days. The whole thing's going on and on. And Ed McMahon goes, we're ready for the first question. And, of course, Johnny Carson had a cheat sheet in front of him so that he knew what was in the envelope. He didn't actually come up
with
this.
Right, he wasn't some Nostradamus.
Right. So they give him the first envelope. He holds it up to his head. He looks down, and he doesn't have his cheat sheet. And Johnny Carson doesn't know what in the world to do. This is live television. And he's like, kind of finally whispers over to Ed McMahon, I don't have the answers.
That's our show.
When I saw that, I'm like, that's our show to a T right there.
For sure.
They actually had to go to a commercial so they could get the cheat sheet out so that Johnny Carson could do that segment. I figured, you know what, if it can happen on a famous show like that, might as well happen on this show.
Indeed. We got to get to break. We are well past our time. Scraby's losing it. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
Scraby, I think you like this story. It's actually, it's pretty new. Cleveland Guardians made an announcement today.
Are they bringing back the Spiders?
What the Guardians say?
This is something that only, I think, Scraby would kind of appreciate. The Guardians are due to open the season this year April 8th against the Chicago White Sox at 5:10 p.m. However, at 5:10 p.m. on April the 8th, there will be a total solar eclipse.
Whoa.
An event that hasn't happened in Cleveland or in the Northeast Ohio area since 1806.
Wow.
It's been over 200 years since this has happened. Team says now it is going to begin the game at 4:10.
Jeez.
They're going to change the time. I don't know. It's a very confusing story here. They changed the time of the game to account for the total solar eclipse. Are you aware of this total solar eclipse? This is the kind of stuff that normally interests you.
Well, I'm not living in northern Ohio, so I don't know.
Is it only going to be there?
Well, I think the reason they probably haven't seen it is because of the angle they are and the Earth and the way they... Seriously.
I wanted him to try to explain it.
The way you said it. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but the way you said it just sounded wrong.
I am the son of a science teacher.
Well, here's your explanation. Cleveland is one of a few major cities in North America that is in the path of totality, which is a 100-mile track of the moon's shadow. And
so I was right.
The angle.
It's the angle. Yeah,
the angle.
The officials have estimated that over 200,000 visitors will come to Cleveland to witness this celestial show.
You said it's a 100-mile track?
100-mile track. Track of the moon shadow, and Cleveland's really one of the main, major cities where it's going to happen.
What was it called again? The track of totality?
They're in the path of totality.
That's my new band name.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going
to
leave.
Hey, everybody! It's Path to Totality!
That's actually where I'm going to leave you when I'm done with you in our blocking
face-off.
Oh,
you're going to leave me in a path of totality.
That's right.
All right.
Washington Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo, he's a man after my heart, put a new sign up in the team's spring training bullpen.
A bunch
bullpen.
Of new signs.
Yeah, but one of them, it strikes a nice chord, Tony.
It does.
What's it say?
It says, I don't care how hard you throw ball for. It might say fast you throw ball
for. How fast you throw ball for. That's right. And... Yeah,
in other words, he's saying, I want command.
That's right.
Not velocity.
Throw strikes. I've always been a big throw strikes fan.
It's funny because, Nationals had a nice ride where they're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
It's funny what happens and the things you have to now focus on when the talent starts to kind of drop a little bit.
Yes, you can't afford three passes like that.
You don't have the 100-mile-per-hour arms. Or if you do, you rather teach them how to actually use it and throw strikes.
I used to hate walks more than anything on earth. I mean, I hated giving a walk when I pitched. I hate watching them when I, watch baseball. But Blake Snell changed my whole opinion of the walk last year.
Because,
nobody walked more guys than him, and yet he was the best pitcher in baseball.
That might be the fool's gold, because he is a unicorn when it comes to that.
That's the only guy that could get away with it.
I very rarely got, super frustrated on the field, but if we had a guy come in, and it typically only happened in the minor leagues.
Right. Middle of the sixth inning.
He just can't throw a strike. And I know he's not trying to throw a strike.
That's right.
To throw balls,
but please.
You'd be an outfield just dog cussing him under your breath.
Like, yeah, this is embarrassing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Scraby takes us through today's Big Five. Hope you've been listening to the show today. It's been a good one. Sean Lewis from San Diego State, their football coach, Joe Musgrove from the Padres. That's what you've missed if you're just tuning in now. But 90 minutes of fun still ahead on Gwynn and Chris.
Indeed, time for Scraby to shine. Big Five coming your way.
Doesn't always shine in this segment.
He doesn't, but this is his time, though.
This is his time. Yeah, he's got a chance to shine.
To shine. I'm sorry.
Will he take advantage of it?
I should have said that.
Yeah.
So I could basically just do whatever I want outside of the segment, and then this is the segment I need to be my best
this
at?
This is what got the Scraby Chronicles popping.
It's true.
It was this segment.
It was. You're right.
Scraby Chronicles, 6 o'clock tonight. Don't miss it. Especially
what
don't
miss
the
What was your gripe last night,
Yeah,
by
what was the
way?
Gripe last
oh,
night?
Oh, the gripe last night was... when people bring aggressive dogs to the dog park.
Oh, yeah.
I had someone yelling at me yesterday.
Do you have an aggressive dog?
I don't have an aggressive dog.
Why were you being yelled at?
Because the person was saying that my dogs were riling up their dogs, and I shouldn't have my dogs run up to his dog because his dog...
Sounds like your dog was being aggressive.
Lucky would never... Lucky is the most playful.
Yes, but if it comes running into the face of a little dog, they
why
don't
are
know
you at
that.
A dog park?
Because they have dogs.
Whoa!
Why are
You're
you
speaking
at a
to
dog
somebody
park?
With a smaller dog? Like we have, we've come to dog parks. We no longer go.
What did we get started
See?
Into this?
That's fine.
Well, it's not fine. Why shouldn't we be able to bring our dog to the dog park?
It's a good question.
Because people like you allow your big dogs to go racing across the park at my dog. I have no idea, nor does anybody else, whether your dog's going to attack or come over to play.
What did Lucky do to upset this bystander?
No, it wasn't. No, okay, so... Well,
you said that the man or woman was upset
it was a man.
With you because he said your dog riled his dogs up.
Okay, so what happens is... this is what happens with every single dog there. When they come into the park...
Hold on, man. There's no judgment here. You don't
the
have to
dog,
come at me
I'm,
so hard.
I'm angry after Chris said that. The dogs all go and welcome that dog, like a welcoming party. What? And I completely understand that's got to be scary for some dogs, okay? I get that.
Why are you so angry?
Because! Why? And then the dog was like, rah, and trying to bite dogs and like...
This is your dog? I don't care how hard you throw... Ball four. It might say fast.
How fast you throw ball four. That's right. And yeah, I
in
don't
other
know
words, he's
I
saying,
don't know that
it'll take I want
hold.
Command.
That's right.
Not
throw
velocity.
Strikes. Throw yes. strikes. I've always been a big throw strikes
see,
fan.
It's funny because, you know, Nationals had a nice ride where they were at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
It's funny what happens and the things you have to now focus on when the talent starts to kind of drop a little
yes,
bit.
You can't afford three
don't,
passes
you don't have
like
the 100-mile-per-hour arms. Or if you do, you rather learn teach them how to actually use it and throw strikes.
I used to hate walks more than anything on earth. I mean, I hated giving a walk when I pitched. I hate watching them when I, you know, watch baseball. But Blake Snell changed my whole opinion of the walk last year.
Because,
I mean, nobody walked more guys than him, and yet he was the best pitcher in baseball.
That might be the fool's gold, because he is a unicorn when it comes to that.
That's the only guy that could get away with it.
I very rarely got, like, super frustrated on the field, but if we had a guy come in, and it typically only happened in the minor leagues.
Right. Middle of the sixth inning.
He just can't throw a strike. And I know he's not trying to throw a strike.
That's right. But
they're not trying to throw balls,
but please.
You'd be an outfield just dog cussing him under your breath.
Like, yeah, this is embarrassing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Scraby takes us through today's Big Five. Hope you've been listening to the show today. It's been a good one. Sean Lewis from San Diego State, their football coach, Joe Musgrove from the Padres. That's what you've missed if you're just tuning in now. But 90 minutes of fun still ahead on Gwen and Chris.
It is indeed time for Scraby to shine. Big Five coming your way.
Doesn't always shine in this segment.
He doesn't, but this is his time, though.
This is his time. He's got a chance to shine.
To shine. I'm sorry.
Will he take advantage of it?
I should have said that.
Yeah.
So I could basically just do whatever I want outside of the segment, and then this is the segment I need to be my best at?
This is what got the Scraby Chronicles popping.
It's true.
It was this segment.
It was. You're right.
Scraby Chronicles, 6 o'clock tonight. Don't miss it, especially
what
don't
was
miss
your gripe
the
last night,
Yeah,
by
what was the
way?
Gripe last
oh,
night?
Oh, the gripe last night was... when people bring aggressive dogs to the dog park.
Oh, yeah.
I had someone yelling at me yesterday.
It's troublesome.
Yesterday.
Do you have an aggressive dog?
I don't have an aggressive dog.
Why were you being yelled at?
Because the person was saying that my dogs were riling up their dogs, and I shouldn't have my dogs run up to his dog because his dog...
Sounds like your dog was being aggressive.
Lucky would never. Lucky is the most playful.
Yes, but if it comes running into the face of a little dog, they
why
don't
are
know
you at
that.
A dog park?
Because they have dogs.
Whoa!
Why
you're
are you
speaking
at a dog
to somebody
park?
With a smaller dog? Like we have, we've come to dog parks. We no longer go.
What did we get started
See?
Into this? We
can't, that's fine.
Well, it's not fine. Why shouldn't we be able to bring our dog to the dog park?
It's a good question.
Because people like you allow your big dogs to go racing across the park at my dog. What and I have no idea, nor does anybody else, whether your dog's going to attack or come over to play.
What did Lucky do to upset this bystander?
No, it wasn't. No, okay, so...
Well, you said that the man or woman was upset.
It was a man.
Because he said your dog riled his dogs up.
Okay, so what happens is... this is what happens with every single dog there. When they come into the park...
Hold on, man. There's no judgment here. You don't
the
have to
dog,
come at me
I'm,
so hard.
I'm angry after Chris said that. The dogs all go and welcome that dog, like a welcoming party. What? And I completely understand that's got to be scary for some dogs, okay? I get that. And
so why are you so angry?
Because... Why? And then the dog was like, rah, and trying to bite dogs and like...
This is your dog?
Oh, the other dog. So they yelled at me saying that I need to keep my dog on a leash. And I'm like, it's an unleashed dog park!
Is it multiple people yelling at you at this point?
No, it's just one person.
Oh, okay.
It just was really... it upset me.
But what are you angry about? I want to know what you're angry about.
Okay.
That I have a small dog?
No.
Should dog parks only be for dogs that are a certain size?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that shows how ridiculous you are,
no,
as usual.
My gripe is that you know you have a dog that's got anxiety or something.
Anxiety? She has no anxiety.
I'm not talking about your dog.
My wife has anxiety about your dog racing across the lawn at her.
Let's remove Chris Ello and your dog.
What is happening
out of this right now?
All right, I'll remove myself.
We're just talking about this particular situation.
Sorry, what? Oh,
their dog.
My whole thing is when you bring a dog to the dog park, I don't mind if you keep it on a leash. That's your thing. You want to walk a dog around. But when you're at a dog park that's an unleashed dog park and you're mad at dogs that come up and say hello to your dog, my issue.
I didn't know there was an unleashed dog park. That's if that is the case. Then what are you have to know that going in there, right? I don't understand why they were mad.
But let's turn the tables a little bit, Scraby. You've got Lucky the dog, and he's not on a leash, but he's standing close to you. And some gigantic German Shepherd with snarling teeth comes racing across the lawn
towards
at your
Lucky.
Dog.
Yeah.
Are you not going to feel some type of way about trying to protect your dog? Are you just going to let your dog get slaughtered?
Well, Lucky would.
Well, I mean, this is your
Lucky,
whole point is that
Lucky
my dog's
is.
Big, your dog is little, so my dog should be able to do whatever it wants and dominate your dog. And my point is you're being totally unfair.
My issue, because I would not bring... Here, I got it.
Got it.
And we're going to a carryover on the Big
we're
Five.
We're definitely going to a carryover.
So there is a dog in the neighborhood that Lucky, for some reason, they don't get along. And they always bark. They got dog beef. Yeah, they got dog beef. They got dog beef. For some reason, they have dog beef. But every time they see each other, they do the whole stop thing and they stare at each other. I turn around and I take Lucky the other way. I don't want to deal
with
it.
We're going this way, Lucky.
Yes, Lucky, come with me, and he'll turn around. He'll come with me. That's as a dog owner, I'm not going to take my dog to a dog park if I'm afraid of something happening to it. And if there was a dog that was vicious and tried to attack Lucky, yeah, I would be really upset if a dog came up and attacked him. But if they're playing and things like that, it's a whole different nature. But if you bring a dog that's aggressive and that likes to attack dogs to a dog park, I believe that is your fault.
It might be your fault, but it's my dog that's going to pay the price, so I can't take that risk.
That's why you don't bring your dog to a dog park. Thank you for answering the question.
Doesn't seem quite fair to me.
This was the gripe yesterday, huh?
Yes.
All right. I can't wait to see what the gripe is today.
I don't have one yet. It might be Chris and his stupid small dog.
That wasn't nice.
You're right. I take it back. I love Kylie. She's not stupid. She's a great dog.
You better hope Lori would listen.
You're absolutely right.
Let's get to traffic and then the Big Five carryover.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to officially apologize for saying Kylie was stupid. That was wrong of me. I would be very angry if Chris called Lucky stupid, so I am wrong for that.
Scraby is no longer welcome in our home. I don't see a smiley face attached to this email.
No blush. Oh, no. No blushy smiley face.
No. Oh, no. Alyssa or Elisa, you can type and let me know how to pronounce your name, but it's they're saying no aggressive dogs and no scaredy cat dogs should be at the off-leash dog park. You got to know your pups, which I agree with.
I think that's pretty accurate. No extremes.
Yeah.
You got to be in the middle.
You got to be a normal dog who just wants to go run around and play. So there we go.
Number five.
With the rumors of Ha-Seong Kim on the trading block, there are also some rumors out there the Padres could potentially extend Ha-Seong Kim. Now, I don't know how far these rumors are going along with him, but, you know, they are being floated out there. He's got one more season on his contract, and we've talked about all of the different storylines, trade him. That's basically it. Tony, do you think extending Ha-Seong Kim right now is the right idea?
No. I don't. I think I also don't think trading him right now is the answer. I think Ha-Seong is coming off of his best season yet. But I think you still want to see a little bit more. It took him, 2 years to get to this point. Now, if he continues to ascend as we saw him do last year, yeah, you start to entertain an extension as you get into the season a little bit. But not right now. I think there's still some things you want to see to make sure. You already are extended with Bogarts, Toddy, Manny, Darv, Musgrove. Am I missing anybody? Cronenworth.
Yep.
So I just, you know, make
Xander?
Sure.
Did you say Xander?
I said Xander. Okay. Make sure you got this. That he is who he has presented himself to be over the last year and a half.
It's kind of like, okay, you proved you got better. You proved you could be a good player. Now do it again, and then we'll pay.
Because now we're talking extensions. We're talking seeing this into the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Like we think you are going to help our team for the foreseeable future. Chris, what do you think about this? Do you think it would be the right time to extend him?
No, I do not. I don't think you can afford any more big extensions right now. So that's why I wouldn't. I'd still be more inclined to trade him, try to get a package of players that can help fill some of the holes they have. But it does seem like talk of that has cooled considerably.
Yeah. On the chat, Sherry said, "Hey, Chris, I have one of the nicest dogs you will ever meet. He is a German Shepherd. He has been attacked more times by little dogs than big dogs. You can't measure the dog by its size, rather by its bite. Quit giving Scraby a hard time." Thank you, Sherry.
I know one of the funnier things to see is a big dog and having to deal with a bunch of little
running
dogs.
Around,
right?
Yeah.
They don't really want to like step on the little dog either, but they're like the ankles are being attacked by the little dog. So they're like kind of like jumping around.
Yeah, now, I can see that. There's a puppy in the house too, and the puppy is very small. And the puppy, I would say, should not be at the park because it's aggressive.
Yeah, I have two golden doodles, one medium large size, one small size. And when we brought the small size one, Axel, the big one, seemed so annoyed, like all the time. Like this dog is licking, he's biting my face, he's biting my feet. Like, get this thing out of here. You almost could hear him say that.
Are they friends?
Yeah, no, they love each other now. They can't get
okay,
around each other.
Okay, good, so. Good.
Number four.
That's usually how it works out.
I want everybody to know out there, I had to stick up for my dog and the size of
you,
my
you
dog.
Did. You did.
In case my wife was listening. Don't make any mistake about that.
Malteses are very, they're not mean, but they can hold their own.
Well, she's a definite barker, but she's not going to hold her own against, you know, those dogs that are five times her size.
No.
No, that's true. Former Astros closer Ryan Pressly talked to reporters after the Astros named Josh Hader the closer of the team, and reporters asked him if he was surprised. He said, quote, yeah, it was a surprise, but he makes our team better. He's hands down one of the best relievers in the game. I'm happy he's here and happy to share the bullpen with him. It's going to be a fun time. He seems like a great teammate, end quote. Very good job of being a great teammate there, Ryan Pressly, because I know that he's probably upset that he was demoted. But, Chris, which is more important, a great eighth-inning guy or a closer? You can't get to the closer without a great eighth-inning guy.
Yeah. It's nice to have them both. I'm going to go with the closer.
Okay.
Just because leading the eighth inning, you at least have an at-bat or maybe two to catch up. Give up the lead in the bottom of the ninth, it's game over.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the closer. But you're right. I mean, bullpens have shown here recently that it's a group effort down there.
It is.
It really isn't just turning it over to one guy anymore.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think which is more important, a great eighth inning guy or a closer?
I think they're both great to have, but I think the closer is still the more important. Those last three outs of the game can sometimes be the hardest three outs you have to get. Of course, there are always, you know, situations where that's different, right? You know, the few times where the three, four, five come up in the eighth in a one run ball game. So those they're always going to be different. It's nice to have a good eighth and ninth inning because you don't have to necessarily worry about, you know, moving a guy up an inning because of where the spot in the lineup is. So I think these two are going to complement each other because you got one righty, one lefty. And I can easily see a scenario in which Hader's going to be the closer, but there's some righties matchups that maybe they like a little bit more with Pressly. They can do that. That gives them some flexibility. But I still think the ninth inning closer spot is still the more important spot. Right. And it shows because they pay that spot the most.
That just came up in the chat by Dan.
Eighth inning don't get paid much.
That's why Ryan Pressley's probably a little upset.
Well, he got his money already.
Oh, did he? Good, okay, yeah. Good. Good for him. So one thing I've always wondered, and I've never been able to find out what it's like, but I've been wondering what it feels like to wake up Monday morning after you lose the Super Bowl, which the 49ers did. And we have found out what 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy thought. Here he is talking to reporters about Monday morning when he woke up.
Obviously the game, you know, us, you know, how we came up short. You know, obviously it's a sucky feeling, but I also am trying to have the perspective of, all right, this is happening for a reason. You know, it's all part of all of our stories and stuff and our testimonies. So that's sort of the hope that I have for it. And more than anything, just being grateful for the kind of season that we had with the guys in this locker room, this team, this organization. You know, we got to the Super Bowl, we went to overtime, we fell short of it. It sucks. We wanted it. We gave our all this year. But man, it did. I had the opportunity to do it with some really good people, and I'm thankful for that.
Man, how could you hate that guy? He is just wise beyond his years.
I don't know anybody who does hate him, actually.
That was the most boring answer I've ever heard.
I didn't say he was entertaining. I said that he's wise beyond his years.
I don't know anybody who hates Brock Purdy. Nobody.
Everybody who says he's a game manager.
That doesn't mean they hate him.
All right, fine. We're running out of time. Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate his response.
We got a whole another hour after this.
Rate his response, 1 to 10. 10 being you're very impressed by it, 1 being it was stupid.
I mean, I would say 5.
Okay.
I wasn't impressed. I certainly didn't think it was stupid. It was just, you know, kind of... it wasn't a run-of-the-mill answer, but it wasn't anything.
That's not a run-of-the-mill answer.
What did he say that was? What did he say that was extraordinary?
I like that. I like
what
that.
What did he say?
No,
that you
I
liked?
Like that. Brock Purdy is a young because I know at his age, I was not thinking about the great things in my life.
So
I was
you thought he was going to wake up and do this interview and be like, you know what, man? It just sucks today, man. We lost the Super Bowl, and I'm just sad. Like, what did you expect he was going to say?
Beginning of the topic, I've been wondering what it feels like, so he told me.
Now you know. I got
a five. That answers your question.
I'm not even going to ask Chris.
No, too bad. I'm giving him a four, and I'm dropping it down to a two because he said one of my least favorite things, and that is we gave it all this season.
Yes.
Why is that? What?
Because the Cleveland Browns gave it their all this season, and so did the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody goes out there and plays their butts off every Sunday. 49ers just had more talent than the rest of those
teams. We gave
it
our all.
Next time Tua says I gave it, because Tua is, he's right out of the stock answer.
I'll drop him. I'll dock him for that answer as well.
He'll dock him.
Yes, I will.
We tried.
I'm not even going to read the next one because we're going to have to
We're such a good group, man. We never give up, as opposed to all of the teams out there who give up. You hear it every time a team comes from 10 points behind to win a game.
We just
never gave up.
It's just our ability to never give up.
Sounds like
we don't quit.
Come on, please.
When we get back, we're going to finish the last two. Dustin Johnson is telling people, I'll just ask you the question. Is the World Golf Ranking a sham for you right now? And also, Chris Mad Dog Russo is making news, and I want to get a little bit of your opinion on why he is making that news. So that's what we'll talk about when we get back, and I'm going to go and talk more about Chris's dog in the break, everybody.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to officially apologize for saying Kylie was stupid. That was wrong of me. I would be very angry if Chris called Lucky stupid, so I am wrong for that.
Scrabby is no longer welcome in our home. I don't see a smiley face attached to this email.
No blushing smiley face.
Alyssa or Elisa, you can type and let me know how to pronounce your name, but it's they're saying no aggressive dogs and no scaredy cat dogs should be at the off-leash dog park. You got to know your pups, which I agree with.
I think that's pretty accurate. No extremes.
Yeah.
You got to be in the middle.
You got to be a normal dog who just wants to go run around and play. So there we go.
Number five.
With the rumors of Ha-Seong Kim on the trading block, there are also some rumors out there the Padres could potentially extend Ha-Seong Kim. Now, I don't know how far these rumors are going along with him, but, you know, they are being floated out there. He's got one more season on his contract, and we've talked about all of the different storylines, trade him. That's basically it. Tony, do you think extending Ha-Seong Kim right now is the right idea?
No, I don't. I think I also don't think trading him right now is the answer. I think Ha-Seong is coming off of his best season yet. But I think you still want to see a little bit more. It took him, 2 years to get to this point. Now, if he continues to ascend as we saw him do last year, you start to entertain an extension as you get into the season a little bit. But not right now. I think there's still some things you want to see to make sure. You already are extended with Bogarts, Toddy, Manny, Darve, Musgrove. Am I missing anybody? Cronenworth.
Yep.
So I just, you know, make
Xander?
Sure.
Did you say Xander?
I said Xander. Okay. Make sure you got this, that he is who he has presented himself to be over the last year and a half.
It's kind of like, okay, you proved you got better. You proved you could be a good player. Now do it again, and then we'll pay.
Because now we're talking extensions. We're talking seeing this into the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Like we think you are going to help our team for the foreseeable future. Chris, what do you think about this? Do you think it would be the right time to extend him?
No, I do not. I don't think you can afford any more big extensions right now. So that's why I wouldn't. I'd still be more inclined to trade him, try to get a package of players that can help fill some of the holes they have. But it does seem like talk of that has cooled considerably.
Yeah. On the chat, Sherry said, "Hey, Chris, I have one of the nicest dogs you will ever meet. He is a German Shepherd. He has been attacked more times by little dogs than big dogs. You can't measure the dog by its size, rather by its bite. Quit giving Scraby a hard time. Thank you, Sharon.
I know one of the funnier things to see is a big dog and having to deal with a bunch of little
running
dogs.
Around,
right?
Yeah.
They don't really want to like step on the little dog either. But they're like being, the ankles are being attacked by the little dogs. So they're like kind of like jumping around.
Yeah, now, I can see that. There's a puppy in the house too. And the puppy is very small. And the puppy, I would say, should not be at the park because it's aggressive.
Yeah. I have two golden doodles, one medium large size, one small size. And when we brought the small size one, Axel, the big one, seems so annoyed, like all the time. Like, this dog is licking, he's biting my face, he's biting my feet. Like, get this thing out of here. You almost could hear him say that.
Are they friends?
Yeah, no, they love each other now. They can't get
enough. Okay, good, good. Number four. That's usually how it works out.
I want everybody to know out there, I had to stick up for my dog and the size of my
dog. You did.
In case my wife was listening. Don't make any mistake about that.
Malteses are very, they're not mean, but they can hold their own.
Well, she's a definite barker, but she's not going to hold her own against, you know, those dogs that are five times her size.
No, that's true. Former Astros closer Ryan Presley talked to reporters after the Astros named Josh Hader the closer of the team, and reporters asked him if he was surprised. He said, quote, "Yeah, it was a surprise, but he makes our team better. He's hands down one of the best relievers in the game. I'm happy he's here and happy to share the bullpen with him. It's going to be a fun time. He seems like a great teammate," end quote. Very good job of being a great teammate there, Ryan Presley, because I know that he's probably upset he was demoted. But Chris, which is more important, a great eighth inning guy or a closer? You can't get to the closer without a great eighth inning guy.
Yeah, it's nice to have them both. I'm gonna go with the closer.
Okay,
just because leading the eighth inning, you at least have an at bat or maybe two to catch up. Give up the lead in the bottom of the ninth, it's game over.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the closer, but you're right. I mean, bullpens have shown here recently that it's a group effort down there.
It is.
It really isn't just turning it over to one guy anymore.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think which is more important, a great eighth inning guy or a closer?
I think they're both great to have, but I think the closer is still the more important. Those last three outs of the game can sometimes be the hardest three outs you have to get. Of course, there are always, you know, situations where that's different, right? You know, the few times where the three, four, five come up in the eighth in a one run ball game. So those they're always going to be different. It's nice to have a good eighth and ninth inning because you don't have to necessarily worry about, you know, moving a guy up an inning because of where the spot in the lineup is. So. I think these two are going to complement each other because you got one righty, one lefty. And I can easily see a scenario in which Hader's going to be the closer, but there's some righties matchups that maybe they like a little bit more with Presley. They can do that. That gives them some flexibility. But I still think the ninth inning closer spot is still the more important spot. Right. And it shows because they pay that spot the most.
That just came up in the chat by Dan.
Eighth innings don't get paid much.
That's why Ryan Presley's probably a little upset.
Well, he got his money already.
Oh, did he? Okay, good. Good for him. So, one thing I've always wondered, and I've never been able to find out what it's like, but I've been wondering what it feels like to wake up Monday morning after you lose the Super Bowl, which the 49ers did. And we have found out what 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy thought. Here he is talking to reporters about Monday morning when he woke up.
Obviously the game. You know, us, you know, how we came up short. You know, obviously it's a sucky feeling, but I also am trying to have the perspective of, all right, this is happening for a reason. You know, it's all part of all of our stories and stuff and our testimonies. So that's sort of the hope that I have for it. And more than anything, just being grateful for the kind of season that we had with the guys in this locker room, this team, this organization. You know, we got to the Super Bowl. We went to overtime. We fell short of it. It sucks. We wanted it. We gave our all this year. But man, I had the opportunity to do it with some really good people, and I'm thankful for that.
Man, how could you hate that guy? He is just wise beyond his years.
I don't know anybody who does hate him, actually.
That was the most boring answer I've ever heard.
I didn't say he was entertaining. I said that he's
I don't know anybody who hates Brock Purdy. Nobody.
Everybody who says he's a game manager.
That doesn't mean they hate him.
All right, fine. We're running out of time. Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate his response.
We got a whole another hour after this.
Rate his response, 1 to 10. 10 being you're very impressed by it, 1 being it was stupid.
I mean... I would say 5. I wasn't impressed. I certainly didn't think it was stupid. It was just, you know, kind of, it wasn't a run-of-the-mill answer, but it wasn't anything.
That's not a run-of-the-mill answer.
What did he say that was extraordinary?
I like that Brock Purdy is a young, because I know at his age, I was not thinking about the great things in my life.
So
I was
thought he was going to wake up and do this interview and be like, you know what, man, it just sucks today, man. We lost the Super Bowl, and I'm just sad. Like, what did you expect he was going to say?
Beginning of the topic, I've been wondering what it feels like, so he told me.
Now you know. I got a 5. That answers 5. Your question.
I'm not even going to ask Chris.
Nah, too bad. I'm giving him a 4, and I'm dropping it down to a 2, because he said one of my least favorite things, and that is, we gave it all this season.
Yes.
Why is that? What?
Because the Cleveland Browns gave it their all this season, and so did the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody goes out there and plays their butts off every Sunday. 49ers just had more talent than the rest of those
teams. We gave
it
our all.
Next time Tua says I gave it, because Tua is, he's right out of the stock answer.
I'll drop him. I'll dock him for that answer as well.
He'll dock him.
Yes, I will.
We tried.
I'm not even going to read the next one because we're going to have to do it on the other side.
We're such a good group, man. We never give up, as opposed to all of the teams out there who give up. You hear it every time a team comes from 10 points behind to win a game.
We just never gave up.
It's just our ability to never give up.
Sounds like
we don't quit.
Come on, please.
When we get back, we're going to finish the last two. Dustin Johnson is telling people, well, I want to ask you, I'll just ask you the question. Is the World Golf Ranking a sham for you right now? And also, Chris Mad Dog Russo is making news, and I want to get a little bit of your opinion on why he is making that news. So that's what we'll talk about when we get back, and I'm going to go and talk more about Chris's dog in the break, everybody.